Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, December the 30th, 2021. 17 minutes past the hour. 2 days left in the year 2021, and then we will be off to 2022. You know, today was one of those days. Have you ever just had a day where you got up and you thought, I would like to stay in bed? It is gloomy outside. It is dark outside. It is just not a very... What should we say? It's not a very aesthetically pleasing day outside as we leave 2021. Boy, oh boy, could I have stayed in bed this morning. You know, I think there was a rainstorm overnight because I woke up at one point in the middle of the night and I heard all this water trickling off the house. So I think the big rainstorm came last night and it was kind of cold this morning, kind of rainy, kind of damp, kind of dark, just not the kind of weather you want to get up and go out in. You know, in the summer, it's kind of funny, because in the summer, we've got the sun shining through your window, and you can kind of feel the heat when you have your window cracked and the wind blowing through it, and you jump out of bed and you're ready to go. You can't wait to get outside and get into it. And then you have days like today that are just plain gloomy days. You know, even days with snow are not like this. This is just more plain gloomy. But we soldier on. It's going to be a great day of radio here on WWGH Radio. I'll be here for the first 2 hours, 8 until 10 this morning, and then we will have Glenn Coble from 10 until 12 today. And I believe he did tell me yesterday that his guest is going to be James Anderson, so that'll be a lot of fun. And then Swap Shop will be on today, 12 until 1 p.m., and you won't want to miss that for love nor money. Here we are getting ready to close out another year, the year of 2021. And yesterday we were talking on the air, and we got some interesting feedback on this, because we had the mayor on Tuesday, and we were talking to the mayor about things that Marion may need or could need or you would like to see in 2022. And the mayor went through some of those things, but I'm curious to know, would anybody like to see anything come to Marion in 2022? 740-383-9944. If you have any suggestions or have any ideas, give us a buzz. Now, for some reason, a lot of this always seems to revolve around restaurants. For a long time, Marion always wanted a Red Lobster. Now, we eventually got a Red Lobster, and it's my understanding Red Lobster does pretty well, which is kind of nice. But White Castle was another story. We got a White Castle. We wanted a White Castle for a long time, and that went right downhill. And then Popeyes took over the building, and that didn't go well at all. I don't think Popeyes was in there as long as White Castle was. So maybe it's the curse of the building. I don't know. I don't think there's anything in there right now. So does anybody foresee anything interesting in 2022? 740-383-9944. I know we have the Del Taco coming up here out on Mount Vernon Avenue. The fence has been taken down next to the Marion Cemetery. I don't know if that'll go back up or not. I don't know if they'll put the fence back around the cemetery or not. It doesn't look bad without the fence, which is a good thing. Oh, I wanted to tell you about this documentary I've been watching I was telling Glenn about this yesterday, and I think I told him off the air. Over Christmas, I got a documentary called Empire of the Air. Now, it's a Ken Burns documentary, and I guess it was on PBS some time ago. But it's basically the story of radio, all the way back to the tubes and how radio really got started. And it's a fascinating documentary. I made my way through it last night. And there really were three guys involved in the start of radio. And one was a guy named Mr. DeForest. Now, Mr. DeForest is a very interesting guy because I don't think he ever really knew what he had. He came up with the idea of the tube, but he really, it seems as if he really did not understand how to relay voice and music and things like that. He didn't quite understand what he had. And then there was another guy named Armstrong who kind of worked on DeForest's idea, and he really got the idea of transmitting voice and sound and all that. And then you had David Sarnoff, who a lot of people might still remember the name David Sarnoff. He was an executive with RCA, which became NBC, and he really came up with the broadcasting end of radio. And what's fascinating to me about this whole thing is these three guys really did not like each other. There was a lot of litigation between the three of these men. DeForest sued Armstrong. Armstrong sued DeForest. Armstrong sued Sarnoff. Sarnoff sued Armstrong. I mean, it seemed like these guys were always in litigation, constantly, for patents and ideas and so on and so forth. Seemed like there was a lot of turmoil in radio, but the two takeaways from this documentary that I got. Number one was radio's golden age only lasted about 15 years, which is kind of interesting because I think we think of it as a longer period of time, but television kind of cut it off. So the golden age of radio, where all these great radio programs were airing, really only lasted about 15 years, and then here came television. Now, the other interesting thing that I picked up from this documentary was obviously when radio started, there was only AM radio. Now, I don't know if that's obvious or not, but when radio started, there was only AM radio. And one of the problems with AM radio was there was a lot of static and you couldn't hear all of the sounds on AM radio. Well, this Armstrong gentleman that I'm telling you about, he kind of came up with the idea of FM radio. Not kind of came up with the idea. He took him 2 years, and he really invented FM radio. And David Sarnoff actually put him in the Empire State Building and had him work on the creation of FM radio. And it was interesting because when Armstrong finally got the idea of FM radio down and showed David Sarnoff, David Sarnoff kicked him out of the Empire State Building and said, "We don't want FM radio," because by that time they were already working on television. And they thought that FM radio would take away from television. So that created a whole nother bitter feud and bit of lawsuits between Armstrong and David Sarnoff. So it's interesting that FM radio almost had the kibosh put on it because of the invention of television. So that's how it all happened. And people really did think television was going to knock radio off the map. That was also kind of interesting. They were almost positive that when television came in, when there were pictures involved, that radio was on its way out. And of course, now we can look at it nearly 100 years later and say that did not happen. Now, does anybody have any ideas on that? Has anybody seen that documentary, Empire of the Air? It's a great, great documentary. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The history of radio is kind of fascinating in that way. There was a lot of anger and a lot of dispute and a lot of litigation. A lot of lawyers made a lot of money back in those days. That is for sure. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you said give me a buzz, so you're out.
I'm glad you're here.
Sounds like this gloomy morning was working on your sinuses there, Scott.
Yeah, it does sound a little funny here this morning, doesn't it?
Yeah, but this is the kind of weather that gets people. So, but you know, you talk about Armstrong. I don't know for what reason. I have a collection of old radio programs back in when the golden days of radio. And one of the programs was Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. That's way before your time. I don't know if you've even ever heard of that show, but it was very popular with teenagers back in the day. What I remember is simulcasting radio and television, like the Ruth Lyons 50-50 Club. You could watch it on TV, and if you had to run an errand, you could jump in your car and turn it on, and the same show would be on the radio. I thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, I was surprised at you know, it was really three guys who brought this all along, but they were just could not have disliked each other more. Now, there were times where they did get along. Now, Armstrong and DeForest, they never got along. They were always litigating each other. But Armstrong and David Sarnoff, they did get along for a little while. But it turned ugly when Armstrong invented FM radio because Sarnoff wanted to go into television. And it was, it's just odd to me how bitter and millions of dollars in those days were spent to litigate each other. And also how short the golden age of radio actually was. Only really about 15 years because here came television. And it's a fascinating story because if these people had gotten along better, my indication is that it would have went over better. There was no compromise in any of these people. And that was a big problem.
Yeah. You talked about the confrontation between television and radio. I remember when television came out, the people that ran the movie theaters was worried that television would kill all the movie theaters. That was quite a confrontation too. There was a lot of discussion. Back when I was a child, we lived in Waldo, and I remember as far as I know, it was the first person in Waldo to get a television set. And they had a front porch, and they allowed the neighbors to come and peek through the windows, the big front window, and watch television. They'd open they'd just have a screen there so they could hear it. But there'd be maybe 10 people on the porch looking through the window to watch their television set. And I remember one time they saw me kind of standing on my tiptoes, and they allowed me to come inside and sit in front of the television set, which I thought was really something. And then the first show I ever saw was a black and white Lone Ranger television show. It was the first thing I ever saw on television. Eventually, I got to meet Clayton Moore, who played the Lone Ranger, which was really quite fascinating to me. But the evolution of radio to television to that's quite a story.
Now, why do you think none of these things ever really did get knocked off? I mean, we never really lost newspapers, we never lost radio, and we never lost movie theaters, even though television came in and was king for a long time. I mean, the other industries really, I mean, they were hurt a little bit, but they didn't go away by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. I think the one that's hurting is newspapers now. A lot of newspapers going out of existence, which is sad to me, but you know, they, even the local newspapers, they can't afford to have the number of reporters that they used to have. It's just becoming financially difficult for it's going away like the mom and pop grocery stores. It's just difficult to compete with the big guys.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, with newspapers. I don't think newspapers ever really had any direct daily competition. And I think the Internet has given them some competition for the first time. And that when it's, people are always going to choose free over something that costs money, and newspapers cost money. I think one of the things that kept radio around was it's free.
Yeah, exactly. The thing I'm seeing kind of crop up with the newspapers is in the mornings I read some of the newspapers online, like and even the Columbus Dispatch and USA Today, they are starting to have a lot of their main articles are for subscribers only. So if you want to read the articles, some of the major articles, you have to pay. Then they have some that are free, but you know, they've just started doing that recently to get more finances. Everybody is getting creative.
What do you think the future of actually newspapers in your hand is?
I don't think it looks good. That was one of the things that I really enjoy, is having a newspaper in my hand and drinking a cup of coffee to start my day. But it doesn't look good, I don't think. It's a bleak future. It's just, I think it's becoming financially, you know, just stressful for at least small papers like Marion Star or some of the small towns to have newspapers, local newspapers. I think you probably see some of them like New York Times or some of the bigger, you know, Chicago Tribune, and some of those larger newspapers will hang around longer. But I remember when we had, of course, the market down, the community market down across from the courthouse is really nice now. But when it was a cigar store, I remember when I was a kid, on Sundays my dad would take me down there and to get a Sunday paper, and he would buy three different Sunday papers. They would have stacks of Chicago, Cleveland, Plain Dealers, New York Times. You could buy four or five different newspaper or Sunday papers from different big cities. You can't find that anywhere anymore.
And wasn't it nice in those days when people didn't question what they read? Now everybody questions everything.
Oh, I know. Even the newscast, it's tough to get, you know, just straight news and not opinions. It's kind of gone off the rails, I think, a lot of times. Even this morning, I got up early, and I switched channels from Good Morning America to the Today Show to two others, and they were all broadcasting the same, very same story. I mean, bang, bang, bang. I would switch channels, and they were all on the same story. So, which was that Giselle Maxwell case.
Oh yeah, I think that, what was that, decided yesterday?
Yes, yes. That's every single one of them, that's what they were broadcasting on. Well, so I thought I wasn't that interested in it. I guess it's a big story, and it's a, you know, but I was surprised that every single channel had the same story on.
You know, it's interesting to me, and I'm sure that's not done on purpose, but it is difficult when a big story comes along that everybody knows is a big story. Now, you have to put that on because you will seem like you're out of touch if you don't put the big story on, but yet you probably do know that everybody else is going to be covering it as well.
Yep. It's very competitive.
But I
think I've mentioned before, I read in the mornings, I always read the USA Today. I read, and I go to Fox, I read their news. I go to CNN, I read their news. And Newsmax and the Columbus Dispatch. I kind of, you know, I like to see what's reported on one and what's not reported on the other. That's fascinating to me some days. And they all put their own slants on them. So it's not the old days of Paul Harvey.
No, and you know, it's interesting because even Paul Harvey was, I mean, he certainly did news, but I don't know if people ever really considered him a newsman. He did... Yeah, but he was very entertaining, that's for sure.
Oh, he was, and I tried to always catch Paul Harvey, I think he was more of a commentator, but yeah, he was very entertaining. I don't know if we have anybody like him anymore.
No, very difficult to find somebody who does that sort of thing. I don't know why. Everybody has gotten so far away from that. I mean, even local television, there really are no people who stick out. You know, everybody wears the same suit. People kind of wear the same dresses. Everybody kind of has the same haircut. There really is not a lot of variety in broadcasting right now.
Yeah. One of the things, Channel 10, some of their women reporters actually look like what I call everyday ladies, the ladies. You go to these networks and their news ladies look like beauty pageant queens. And I thought, what kind of a chance does a normal looking lady have on to get one of those jobs? But I don't know. It seems like sometimes they put them on more for their looks than their qualifications.
Well, and I don't know if it's making it better or not. You know, I've said for years, this position that was created of the traffic reporter, which always seems to be a young girl.
Yeah.
And I don't really get that because I don't think there's a degree in reading a traffic report. And I'm not sure why it's always a young girl. And I also really don't understand traffic reports anyway, because if you are already in your car, you can't see that traffic report. So what difference does it make?
The only one that I thought was really conducive was, and I can't remember, it was a police officer that did helicopter traffic reports during a Ohio State football games before and after. And I thought, you know, you could turn your radio on and catch him, and he could tell you which ones, you know, help you out a little bit where to avoid. But other than that, I totally agree.
Yeah, I think that's something television came up with to create a position, much like weather and sports, and just something else to go to, because I can't really ever see the practicality of that.
Well, even weathermen on TV, I mean, I think we got some good weathermen in Columbus and everything, but you know, I remember the days when Joe Holbrook used a grease pencil on a map to draw where the weather fronts were and everything. And now I think more people rely on their cell phones. Whether you know, you can get radar right on your phone, and weather, detailed weather reports on your phone. You don't need to be watching the TV to get the up to minute weather.
No, cell phones have certainly changed the world on a lot of fronts.
Yeah. But, you know, the cameras on the phones are better than, you know, the cameras we used to have. I remember using the old Kodak Brownie cameras, and you'd have to take the film into a drugstore, and maybe a week or two later you would get your films, and maybe you had a picture you took, and maybe it didn't take, and you didn't know what pictures you had until you got them back from the drugstore.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what all these videos and pictures that people are taking now, I don't know what the fallout from that will be. I think people are writing a lot less. I think people are documenting things a lot less, because I don't know what they do with these pictures and things. I don't know where they go, and I don't know where they end up. It doesn't seem like people are printing them off or copying them off, so I don't know what happens to all this stuff.
Yeah. A good point on the writing. I have a letter from my grandfather, because I think I've mentioned this on the air before, my great-grandfather fought in the Civil War. And when I was in the fourth grade, I went to Alney in the fourth grade, and I wrote my grandfather, who lived in Virginia, I wrote him a letter asking him if he could give me some details on the adventures of my great-grandfather in the Civil War, and he wrote me a letter back, giving me a lot of information, and he was glad that, you know, I was interested in history, and I still have that letter that he wrote. That was 1954 when he wrote that, and I'm thinking, what are the grandkids now? You don't save text. And you don't have handwritten. I'm not sure the school kids now even know how to read a cursive letter. So it's a different world.
Well, that's what I've always wondered. I've always, just for history's sake, because so much is done in reading letters and correspondences that people used to send, Western Unions and things of that nature. I don't know where emails go. I don't know where texts go. I don't know, is that stuff kept somewhere where people will be able to research it years from now? They say things never go away once they're on the internet or on your cell phone. So I don't know. Maybe they will be there. Maybe they won't. It's strange, and I also don't know what will be considered private and not private. Because a lot of things that people do in text and email, I'm sure, are not for public consumption. So I don't know. I think it's allowed people to be more, people are more open in an email than I think they ever would have been in a letter that they sent. And also, I think people take pictures with their cell phones that they never would have taken.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
With a camera.
Yeah. The old cameras, everybody would pose. There weren't very many off-the-cuff pictures taken like they do with cell phones. Now, the good news is, you know, we're seeing a lot of actual things happen with people have cell phones everywhere, and so incidences, whether it's somebody misbehaving on a plane or a crime taking place, we're seeing videos that you never would have seen before. So there's some good things, and then there's some bad things. It's like everything. So depends on how you use it.
Yep, the good with the bad. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Have a great day. I hope you get your sinus and get some sleep when you get home.
Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's strange, this weather lately, for December, up and down and rain and... Boy, it will mess with your sinus. That is for sure. And the bout of laryngitis I had, what was it? Was it last week? Week before? It has been, I don't know. Hopefully it'll all clear up today. That's what we all hope for. 45 minutes past the hour. What do you think of kind of the world we live in now when it comes to text messaging, people don't write letters, emails, things of that nature. It is an interesting subject, and it all goes back here to television and radio and newspapers and the internet and how things came to be. You know, history is very important. But going back to that documentary, Empire of the Air, I think is what it was called. But it was so shocking to me. I don't know why, and I've said it here before. I've said it other times here this morning. Just how much these people disliked each other and how they tried to cut each other off at every turn. I mean, there really was a big argument about FM. That David Sarnoff, also known as General Sarnoff, he did not want to see FM radio because he felt it would hurt television. He really did not like that. Empire of the Air. Should check that out. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I think you need some vitamin C.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's been a weird couple weeks.
You know, not too long ago, you said that there was a radio station in Marion that was playing a lot of old shows.
Yeah.
What radio station is that?
I think it's WZMO.
What's the numbers on that?
You know, I honestly don't know. It was one place on the dial, and then it moved to another, and I can't remember where they moved it. I think they air them a couple times a day.
Because I like those old radio shows. When you listen to a radio show, you use your imagination.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things they talked about in this documentary I was watching was it was right at the very end, one of the last lines in the documentary, this guy's telling a story about a kid, and they say, well, do you prefer radio or television? And the kid says, well, I prefer radio, and the adult goes, well, why do you prefer radio? And the kid said, the pictures are better, because you come up with them in your own mind.
Right.
Which I think is very, very interesting.
I mean, two different people can listen to the same radio program, and, you know, if they had to describe, you know, the house or something they envisioned or something, you know, the homes might be totally different, you know. But in a movie, you know, it's going to be the same.
Well, that's it. You know, once you see it, you've seen it. And a lot of people feel that's why a lot of shows that are done on the stage should not be made into movies. Because they think that that change is also not good, because it was made for the stage.
Well, that, and, you know, when a person writes a book and then they make it into a movie too, you know, those change.
Yeah,
you
it's...
know, they're not the same as what the book, you know, was.
Well, it's just funny to me how FM radio almost about did not come to be because of television. They really tried to put the brakes on this guy.
You know, talking about newspapers, you know, it used to be, you know, a boy would sell newspapers, you know, on the street corner, you know, make extra money years ago. And then you had the newspaper delivery boys. But nowadays, that's a thing of the past.
You know, I'm not sure how newspapers get delivered now.
They have a cart.
Oh, do they? People just drive around in a car?
The Marion Star in town, they come out with the car.
You know, I wonder how many subscribers they have that people actually get the newspaper at home still.
Well, I've seen them deliver here on Henry Street, and I only seen them take paper up to two houses, you know, as far as I could see them.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, it just, there's not enough to have a paper boy, you know.
I don't really know what the future of newspapers is. Maybe it is online, and maybe people will subscribe online, but newspapers always made a lot of money off circulation, you know, selling that paper every day. And when they no longer have that revenue of being able to sell that paper, I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, the circulation also added to how much they could charge for the ads in it, too.
Right, I'm not sure how newspapers figure that out now. I'm not sure how they, when they go to an advertiser, how they say, okay, well, this many people are reading. Do they tell them how many people are paying attention on the internet? I don't know how that's done now.
I have an uncle, he worked for a newspaper for years, and he passed away, he's in his early 90s last year, but you know, we talk about the newspaper here in town, Marion Star, you know, how expensive it is and stuff. And he said Marion Star would be better off just giving the paper away. That way they could have their, you know, more circulation, and, you know, they could charge more for the ads.
Well, I think it's the cost of printing it that becomes a problem. I think that's why the cost of it keeps going up and up and up, is I think so few papers are still printing daily newspapers, and there's a cost involved in that. Also, when you buy these newspapers in the store, if a newspaper doesn't sell that day, you know, the newspaper doesn't make any money back on those issues that they bought.
Right. I remember my grandmother used to walk, you know, walk uptown there with, when we stayed all night, and she'd always buy us comic books. But I don't know if there's any place you could buy a comic book at Marion anymore, or if they still sell them.
Well, I don't know. I think they still sell comic books, but I'm not sure where you would buy them locally. I'm not sure if they're still on the magazine racks at the stores or not. I know they lasted on the magazine racks for a long time, but I don't know if there's a particular store where you buy them.
Yeah, it used to be Marvel and some of the other brands that, you know, did them.
I'll tell you, the one thing that nobody ever really talks a whole lot about is the magazine industry. My goodness, the cost of the magazines that are left and how many magazines have went by the wayside.
Oh, yeah.
It has been unbelievable. There used to be tons and tons and tons of magazines.
Well, when you go to that cigar store, you know, just look at all the different magazines that used to be, you know, 20, 30 years ago. You know, there was magazines on everything.
Well, and they used to be between $2 and $4. Now they're $10, $9. I mean, magazine, the cost has become so astronomical because people don't buy them.
Right.
I very rarely ever see a magazine sold out.
I don't think people, you know, go door-to-door selling magazine subscriptions like they used to. It used to be a fundraiser for...
Oh, yeah.
For schools.
Yep, magazine subscription. And they used to have a magazine for everything because I think people did buy them, but seems to me that's all went by the wayside.
I have another suggestion for you, too.
What's that?
You know, you didn't get a bus for Christmas time this year?
Right.
What about working out a deal where you let somebody borrow your helicopter and they let you borrow their bus?
Trade out the helicopter for the bus?
Yeah.
Well, I hope the bus we get is not as old as the helicopter we have.
Are you the pilot?
No, I've never piloted the helicopter. You know, we go up early in the morning to look around and see if there's any news going on. That's old Joe up in the pilot.
Oh,
he's piloting the old helicopter. But we have to keep it, the location of the helicopter, very private. Because people will want to come and, you know, shake it down.
Right, take pictures.
We can't.
Yeah.
You know, you want to keep a little privacy in your life.
Okay, well, we'll let you go.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Here we are, 740-383-9944. Anything on your mind? Well, looks like there's something on somebody's mind here. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, you on the air?
You're on the air.
Okay, what's the subject?
Well, this morning we're talking about the history of radio, and our newspaper is going to be able to continue.
I believe they will.
You think they won't all go to the internet?
Well, some might, but I still like to get a paper once I read it. Oh, by the way, did you do my survey?
Now, which one was that?
Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Was it Christmas songs?
Christmas story, Christmas songs, and Christmas movies.
I think we did do the Christmas song, and I think number one was the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, what was your favorite Christmas song?
I have a few. Well, I do like one that Steve Kane used to do on his radio show, Blue Christmas, not by Elvis, or... Willie Nelson, but by Porky Pig.
Porky Pig.
We'll have a blue without you.
Now, are you making any New Year's resolutions this year?
New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
make sure my wife is taken care of.
That's always a positive one.
Yes.
Well, it's good to hear from you. Glad you're out there.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944, 56 minutes past the hour. Interesting conversations here this morning. I appreciate that. I always like having an in-depth conversation on something like this. I don't know when this Del Taco will open up out on Route 95, but people, I just hope when they open up that the staff is there so people's first experience is not bad. Because I think that's what happened with Popeyes. I think that's what happened with Ponderosa when they opened up out here. They open up and they're swamped because everybody wants to go there and try the food. And they get overwhelmed and the food is not good the first time and then nobody goes back. And that hurts your business. But I think that's what happened with Popeyes. I think that's what happened with Ponderosa. They just did not have the staff to accommodate how many people wanted to come when they opened. And staffing's an issue these days. I don't know. It might be hard getting anybody to work there with the way things are going. You see help wanted signs all up and down the street, all up and down Route 95. Gas stations constantly seem to have help wanted signs in the window. I don't know what has happened. And I really don't think anybody knows directly what has happened. But we'll all find out as time goes on. 740-383-9944, 57 and a half minutes past the hour. Do you have anything to say this morning? Want to jump in on the conversation that we are having? You know, one thing about this documentary on radio I was watching pointed out to me was that if Marion Radio started in 1940, then we were really around in the golden age of radio here. Because the golden age of radio was pretty much from the mid-30s through the early 50s. So a lot of that is encompassed in Marion Radio, with Marion Radio having started in 1940. So that's kind of interesting. KDKA, the first real radio station in the country. And I think I had a chance to go in KDKA when I was in Pittsburgh. Very historic. But boy, radio stations definitely started popping up. Well, I think somebody's at our door here. I'm going to go over and get the door here in about 60 seconds. I don't know if the door is locked or not. Shouldn't be locked. All right, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944, if there's anything on your mind. 740-383-9944. 59 minutes past the hour. Got a whole nother hour here this morning. Well, this isn't... I don't know what's going on with the door over there. I don't think the deadbolt's locked. We'll get to it here momentarily. All right, don't forget, I've got a whole nother hour this morning. Then we've got Glenn Coble from 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Swap Shop Today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And then we have Adam the Computer Guy today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. Don't miss any of the programming right here on WWGH Radio. Stay tuned, streaming live on the net at WWGH1071.com.